this evening with the study. So we're in chapter 1, verse 1, if you'll read along with us. And before we even start reading, do we want to do the introduction here?
Introduction.
This book was written by Luke, the physician, the traveling companion of Paul, and it was written to Theophilus, and we find that out in the first verse when we read the first verse. Now, there are others mentioned. Peter and Paul are the main characters of Acts, and we're going to find that as we keep on reading. This book is absolutely, most definitely, a witness to the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we see demonstrated time and time again in the accounts mentioned in Acts and in your own personal experience that when the gospel is preached, that a harvest is reaped.
And you know, that phrase was dropped into me by the Spirit. When the gospel is preached, the harvest is reaped. And that was many years ago. And it's showing how important it is to present the gospel. And when you present the gospel, you just expect the harvest, whether you reap it or whether you don't. That's irrelevant. But when you preach the gospel, the harvest is going to be reaped. You sow seed, the harvest is coming. And we know that some plant, some water. God gives the increase. You may harvest, or you may sow, or you may be doing both. You with me? But you can be certain of this. God's word will not return to him empty. It'll do what he sent it to do, not necessarily what you think it should do. But it'll do what he sent it to do. And so it's very important that when you put the word out, you just believe that word's going to produce what God ordained it to produce, and don't you try to second-guess God. We've all been guilty of it. And you can get discouraged. You don't think anything's happening, but something's happening. Your role, my role, sow the seed. You understand? And then if we're the benefactors of someone, what someone else has done, that's fine and well. Then reap the harvest. But just keep sowing the seed. Amen.
Now, think about this and the harvest that is reaped and the message that's proclaimed in faith. And as your study guide tells you that this book gives account to the and witnesses of the Lord's power, I've been reading a book on a man that many of you've probably heard of. His name is Smith Wigglesworth. And I have been reflecting on the power of the Lord that in his life was demonstrated time and time and time and time again. But the underlying factor with that is, and Jesus told us this, he had such tremendous faith and was so completely, fully persuaded in the Word of God that he didn't expect anything different. He was assured there was going to be a production. And, you know, we're told that if we have faith to believe that a mountain can be moved, the mountain's going to be moved. But faith is that underlying factor, that determining factor. And what we're going to find out, I believe, as we read through the book of Acts, is we're going to see people's faith in action. They're not wishy-washy about it. We're going to find that in these accounts, people aren't second-guessing the Lord. That they're not hot and cold. That they are consistent in their belief. You know, and I'm thinking today we're going to be learning about this, and I have been saying this over and over and over and over again, and I don't know, I suppose I'm saying it to myself. But we too can expect the exact same thing if our faith is aligned, if we're fully persuaded in this Word of God, and that we are moved by the Holy Spirit and we're operating according to the Holy Spirit, these miracles that we're going to read about should not be exclusive to these men. The Lord didn't say, I will perform miracles for you and I'll give the Holy Spirit to just these men back in this time. He didn't say this; these miracles were just for this church that was starting up. If we fully believed in the Word of God and the Holy Spirit was directing us, we too could raise people from the dead. And the more I learn about the Lord, the more convinced I am of that. That if we're not seeing the miracles that we're getting ready to read about here in this book of Acts, it doesn't have anything to do with the Word of God or His power or His authority. There's something lacking on our end. And I believe what's lacking is the faith. So I'm looking forward to learning as we read this book of Acts. I'm looking forward to the Holy Spirit speaking to your spirit and my spirit, to where as we get this word inside of us, we're going to be more persuaded. You know, faith comes by hearing the word of God. It comes by hearing God speak. And so we have to get this word in us, right? So it's vital. But I'm looking forward to this.
It's not how much.
No.
I mean, people tend to put their attention on quantity. It's not how much you believe, it's how strong are you in what you believe. The Word is an incorruptible seed. Nothing wrong with the Word. Okay? That's not even the question. But it has to be mixed with faith in order to produce. And so we just have to be strong in it. Abraham was strong in what God told him. Strong enough that he didn't let the circumstances affect him. I mean, when you're old and you don't have children and you'll change your name to Father of Many Nations, that's a pretty giant step, if you think about it. And if you'll take the son that you've waited for all those years and willing to sacrifice him, that's a pretty giant step. You've got to be strong in what you believe. And he just believed God had raised him from the dead. He was strong in it. You understand? And so we have to be convinced in our own hearts that the Word of God is true. And the Word of God is incorruptible seed. And so all we have to do is agree with the Word. And then there's that thing called thoughts that come at your mind. I tell you why it won't work. Give you all the reasons to doubt. Now, this is where we're talking about being strong. You've been established in the Word, to where you're more in tune with what the Word says than what the other things say. And then you, as the 10th chapter of 1 Corinthians says, you cast down the imaginations and you capture the thoughts. And if the thought comes in and it's not in agreement with the Word, then you discard the thought. You don't dwell on it. You don't meditate. You don't ponder. And this is where we get in trouble. We think about the wrong thing. It seems like people are more proficient in why it won't work than why it will work. And we dwell on all the what-ifs rather than just dwelling on the integrity of the Word of God. And I think we all have some growing to do. And I believe the Lord, through this study, was going to give us some understanding in some things. Faith comes by hearing God talk to you. And when God talks to you, you get it in your heart, and you can hold on to it. Just don't let it go because somebody else doesn't agree with it. You'll find that most people don't agree with God. That's why they're in the mess there. We got to get in agreement. Amen.
Amen. Chapter 1, verse 1.
Okay.
I wrote the first narrative, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach.
Now let's talk about that first.
Okay. Okay.
The former, obviously, talking about the previous. And the treatise is just simply a course of conversation, something written. And so he's actually referring to the Gospel of Luke. When he says the former treatise that I've made, then he's saying the Gospel of Luke, the recordings that I've made concerning the Gospel of Jesus. Oh, now note this, all that Jesus began to do and to teach. And see, you can drop things. Luke said what I recorded was what Jesus began to do and to teach. Now, what a lot of people are missing is Jesus is still doing what he's always done. Jesus is still preaching. Jesus is still teaching. Jesus is still healing. He does it through the body of Christ, which is a spiritual body. And so we think that because, or many people think, that because Jesus ascended back into heaven, that the work stopped. No, he never meant for the work to stop. Actually, there's no conclusion to this book. It's really, many people call it Acts of the Apostles, but it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit working through people. Well, the Holy Spirit still works through people. All that Jesus began to do and teach until the time he was taken up. Okay? So, who's Theophilus? No, we don't really know. There's a lot of speculation out there as to who he is. The name means of lover of God, or friend of God is what the name means. Some think Theophilus was a Roman that had converted, proselyted over to Christianity. We don't know. You understand? All we do know is that this man had interest in Jesus. And Luke took the time to write a history, if you will. That's what the Gospel of Luke is, just some documented history of what Jesus did in his natural ministry. Now what he's doing is coming in behind that with some more information after Jesus ascends back into heaven. Now, the first chapter, he's going to tell us about the ascension, but then the rest of this is still showing the acts of the Holy Spirit that's being accomplished, just like they were accomplished through Jesus. Do you understand that Jesus did everything by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit? A lot of people don't realize that. Jesus did not do the things he did on earth as deity. He did it as the Son of Man operating under the unction of the Holy Spirit. And that same Holy Spirit dwells in us if we've received him, if we've been immersed into him. Okay? Now,
so I want to hit on what we just read the last time we were together at the end of John. If you remember, he said that he supposed not even the world itself could contain the books that would have been written if everything was recorded that Jesus did. So I want you to think about that And it says, we just read here in Acts, and Pete already mentioned this, of the work that Jesus began to do. And you think about that, how many times have you heard somebody say, I wish Jesus would just do something. I wish God would just do something. Have y'all heard that before? Surely I'm not the only one. Well, he hasn't stopped doing anything. I'm wondering if we stopped paying attention. And so this is, I believe, when we read this book of Acts, it's going to, as Pete was saying, the Holy Spirit, our attention's going to be focused on him. And hopefully we're going to be enlightened by the Spirit to be sensitive to his works, to his ways.
Let me share this with you before we go into verse 2 here. A good friend of mine was telling me what really springboarded him into mass evangelism. He was working with a very well-known ministry, and he would go and do what's called pre-crusading, and back then showing, like with a 16-millimeter camera, showing film, put a sheet up and use a generator, and you go out and you're preparing people and telling people what's been done. They're seeing the miracles or whatever that's taken place in crusades prior to that. And he said that this particular night he was showing this, and the man came up to him after he had shown the film, and he said, if this Jesus is real, then heal my child. Now, he's saying the man's coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so he started crying out, oh, Lord, help me, you know. But he said, he prayed for that child, God healed that child. And that showed him, and you'll hear this phrase a lot, I actually pick up this phrase from him. It's not the man of God, it's the God of man. When you understand that the pressure's not on you, it's all on the integrity of God, and you believe in God, you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You follow what I'm saying? And from that, he has a very powerful, powerful ministry, mighty, mighty miracles over many, many years. But it started with putting the feet to the fire. We see what happened then. How about right now? People are tired of hearing what has happened or what will happen. Mm-hmm. They want to see something mm-hmm. happen. You understand? If this Jesus is real, then let's demonstrate that he's real. That's our role.
Mm-hmm.
Our role is to demonstrate the reality of a present Jesus that lives in us. You with me? And we've got to get out of the thinking that we're the ones that's doing it. We're not the ones that are doing it. We're just letting him use the body to do what he's always done. Going about doing good, healing all those oppressed of the devil, right? Or just to turn him loose instead of keeping him suppressed. Okay?
Okay. Verse 2. Until the day he was taken up after he had given orders through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen.
Now, how about that? What's he doing? He's speaking through the Holy Spirit, right?
Yes.
After that, he, through the Holy Spirit, had given commandments to the apostles whom he chose. He's not doing it as deity. He's doing it as the Holy Spirit. He's speaking by the Spirit of God. He's still speaking by the Spirit of God today. The instruction that you and I get today are by the Spirit of God. None of that has changed. What's changed is our thinking. We've got to change our thinking to understand that anything God's ever done, he wants to do. He's not a has-been God. Mm-hmm. He is present tense. You remember how he introduced himself to Moses?
Mm-hmm.
I am. Not I was, not I will be. And that's how he's wanting us to see him, is I am. So what can he do today? We just have to take the limitations off of him. Okay?
After he had suffered, he also presented himself alive to them by many convincing proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God.
Now, I want you to see some things here. If you understand the Old Testament, Passover, and then 50 days later was Pentecost. Right? Pentecost, actually, the word Pentecost means 50. Okay? How long was Jesus on earth? What does it say? After his resurrection, he died on Passover, right?
Mm-hmm.
He's the Passover lamb. Okay? So how many days was it that he showed himself after his resurrection? 40?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that what that verse said?
That's right.
Okay. Trying to get you guys with me here.
Yeah.
If you're out to lunch or something, you know. Now, if you get that truth inside you, then the people in the upper room couldn't have been there more than 10 days.
Yeah.
You got that? I mean, you got... Come on, think with your math head now. Okay? 40 from 50 is?
10. We got it.
10. 50 minus 40. Okay? That's 10. He showed himself 40 days. Didn't he? And how many days was he in the tomb? 3. So 43 days from Passover, right? So in reality, you're looking at, what, 7 days possibly in the upper room? If you'll just stop and look at some things, it'll answer questions for you. You know, people want, well, how long were they in the upper room? They must be weeks, months, you know. That'll answer the question for you. Now, the word infallible is an interesting word when you look at it in the Greek. Because it's actually, the connotation is this, that it's experiential evidence.
Mm-hmm.
It's not theology. It's what is a common experience. And that common experience then is undeniable.
Yeah.
And so we could use the word by many undeniable proofs. You follow me?
Mm-hmm.
In other words, you couldn't deny. Even the people that crucified him couldn't deny the miracles. You with me? Okay.
Okay.
Now, what's he talking to them about?
Mm-hmm.
Those 40 days... that he's there on earth after his resurrection. What is he talking to these apostles about? The kingdom of God. He's talking to them. He's evidently explaining to them things about how God's dominion works. Now, in Luke, in his gospel writing, he himself wrote that the kingdom of God is in you. Right? And so the dominion of God works internally rather than externally. God ruling in the spirit or in the heart of man. And then that being manifested in the outward man. It's not that God just rules over the physical man. God instructs through the Spirit, and then the Spirit is to take control of the body. Romans, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, 12th chapter, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. Who's you? Obviously, it's not your body. It's dealing with the spirit man. And so he's saying, all right, spirit man, present the physical man. Holy. Separated. Distinctly different. You follow me? And so Jesus is talking to these guys about the kingdom of God. And really, it's not that his teaching is different. The parables are about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like. What can we compare the kingdom of God to? And when you go through the parables of Jesus, he's talking about the kingdom of God. He preached and he taught the kingdom of God when he's walking on earth. And so after he resurrected, he's still talking about the kingdom of God. He's trying to get instilled into their thinking, men live in the spiritual kingdom and stop focusing on a natural kingdom. Live out of the Spirit. You're in the world, but don't be a participant of the systems of the world. You understand? Keep focused. So he's talking to them about God's realm. God rules. God's dominion. Operating right here on earth. Right? Remember what Jesus, when they asked him how to pray, you remember what he said to them? Our Father, who's in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth. You remember the dream that Nebuchadnezzar had? And the stone that was cut out of the mountain without hand that crushed that statue and that kingdom filled the earth. God's kingdom is filling the earth. But people, it's amazing how many church people are oblivious of the kingdom of God. They think it's something that's going to happen after they die. Or during the millennial reign. God's wanting his kingdom operating right now, today. So Jesus is talking to these guys about the kingdom of God. And you'll see that it took root. Because you'll see God's kingdom operating through them throughout the book of Acts.
Okay. Verse 4. While he was together with them, he commanded them not to leave Jerusalem, but to wait for the Father's promise. This, he said, is what you heard from me.
Remember in Luke, the 24th chapter, he says, wait in Jerusalem until you're endued with power from on high. You wait. These are guys that have worked miracles. These guys have preached the kingdom of God. He said, you wait, you stay there until you're endued with power from on high. Now, that's the promise that he said. You look at the 14th, 15th, 16th chapters of John, he said, what's the promise? The Holy Spirit's coming, the Holy Spirit's coming, the Holy Spirit's coming. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes. Be full of the Spirit of God before you go out to represent me. Otherwise, you're going to have major issues. You're getting the picture? If we don't do anything in the study, but one little thing, I want it to be to where you understand that the Holy Spirit is absolutely imperative in your life in order for God's kingdom to operate here through you. It can't be done without the Holy Spirit.
So okay. He said, For John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.
Not many days. Not many days. We're not talking about weeks and months. Not many days. And if we do our math, it appears to be somewhere around 7 days. If we incorporate the 3 days he was in the tomb, okay? So, what's going to happen in a few days?
Be baptized.
They're going to be immersed into. And really, that word baptize is baptizo is the Greek word, and it's talking about immersion.
Mm-hmm.
Immersion. Now, it's not just sprinkling a little bit on you. God doesn't just sprinkle a little bit of the Holy Spirit on you. You follow me? No, He wants you to go all the way under to where you disappear. And to where the Spirit of God is now living through you. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit. If you're led by the Spirit, then you don't fulfill the desires of the flesh. I mean, we could go on and on with that, but you might ought to,
okay.
Might ought to go on. Okay.
So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, are you restoring the kingdom to Israel at this time?
No, they're thinking naturally. He's talking to them spiritually, and they locked into the natural. Are you going to set up your kingdom? Natural thinking. You understand?
Mm-hmm. He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by His own authority.
If your translation says power, it's actually, this is the Greek word exousia, not dunamis, which is generally translated as authority, okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's His authority. His authority, He'll call the shot on that, okay? It's not for you to know. Isn't it amazing how many people are trying to figure out what they can't know? It's an impossibility to know. So don't try to figure it out. We are to live day by day. You with me? But people are so engrossed in prophetic future that they don't even live today. And God's wanting His kingdom to operate today through each individual that is truly born again. Okay? So you're going to set up your kingdom? That's not for you to know. Well, it wasn't for them to know, and it's not for you to know. So don't go there. You're wasting your time. You're not going to find it out anyway. And you know, all it is a diversion. It's going to keep you from learning the truths that you need to know. And too many people are chasing the wrong things. Illicit things.
Verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth.
Now, here's where it is, okay? He's telling them about the promise. He's also talking to them about the kingdom of God, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to receive dunamis. It's what this is, that word power. You're going to receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. Now, that tells me you don't have it before. I mean, just common sense. They were operating in the authority of Jesus. He says, now you need power. And that power will come on you when you're immersed in the Holy Spirit. Now I want you to think about this. What does the power do? It gives you the ability to be. And you will be witnesses. He didn't say you will witness. A lot of people are witnessing with their mouth, but their life is not a witness. You ever heard the old adage, I can't hear what you're saying for saying what you are? And that's the way it is with so many Christians. Their life doesn't line up to the message that they're preaching. So what Jesus is saying, when you're immersed in the Holy Spirit, it's going to change your being. You guys all left me in the garden. You denied me, Peter. You see where I'm coming from? And the rest of you ran. Even John the Beloved ran. Now, I'm inserting a lot of things. But after you're immersed in the Holy Spirit, nobody's going to be running. You will stand and be the witness that I ordained you to be. We'll stop here. We'll come back on this. I want to get this Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth when we come back after the break. Okay?